You turn your Bibles back to Psalm chapter 23. Can you hear me okay? Good. Had a little scare this morning. I was talking to Pastor up here, and Brother Hartzler come in, and this is his little gadget so he can hear, and I have no problem with that. That's great, awesome. I'm glad he wants to hear, but I said it's a little bit eerie when the Undertaker is putting something on you. I never had that experience before. I remember Pastor Coben's talking about, and it may have been you, I'm not sure, someone at one of the guys at a funeral home one time straightened his tie up for him, and he said that didn't seem right. But we're glad you're here. Brother Hartzler, you're a blessing to us. Glad you could come by. And we'll take a look here at Psalm 13 again. I'm not going to tell you that I'm going to get done. I make it done. I may not. It does me no good to tell you that we're going to finish, because whenever I do that, we don't. This psalm, we've been in it a few weeks here now, and it seems to be very fitting to us at many times in our lives. And this Sunday in particular, there's great need. News has come up, with Pastor Coben's, what he's going through right now. And of course, my father-in-law, Brother Wagner, Pastor Wagner. And it's concerning, but we know that God has not forgotten us. That's what this psalm head starts out to be, asking God if he's forgotten him. But we know that God has not forgotten these men or any of the rest of us that have need. He has not forgotten us. And hopefully, I know by going over my notes over the yesterday much, the last couple of days, just panning over them and looking into them more, that I feel that is very timely that we're going through this right now. Let's read the Psalms, just six verses. The Bible says here, Psalm 13, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me." We've been looking at this again for a couple weeks now. We said we were going to divide it up in three points, and we've just been covering the first point, which is prayer in troubled times. The second point was going to be performance in troubled times. We will get there shortly here. And then the ending in verse 6 is praise in troubled times. If I can catch back up in my notes where we were, as we were close to finishing up prayer, number one, prayer in troubled times, we said there was a complaint in the prayer, a consideration in the prayer, was what we talked about last week, and then there's thirdly a cause for the prayer in troubled times. We see that in verse 4, it says, lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. The cause for the prayer in troubled times here, David gives two important reasons for making his prayer for deliverance by God. And this verse is divided into two. We see two things in it here. First, he says, lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him. Again, remember, this is David praying to God, and he says to God, in verse 3, consider and hear me, O Lord, my God, lighten mine eyes lest I sleep the sleep of death. He's beckoning the Lord to hear his prayer, and he says, Lord, hear my, I'm not adding to the word of God here, but just let me put this in here for a moment. He's saying, hear me, Lord, because my enemy, lest the enemy will say, I have prevailed against him. Lord, would you hear me? Because if you don't hear me and you don't answer, then the enemy is going to prevail. David pleads with God for his answer, lest the enemy would claim the victory. We studied this verse not all that long ago, back in Psalm chapter 9. In verse 19 and 20, the Bible says here, again, this is David speaking, arise, O Lord, let not man prevail, let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men, Selah. David is beckoning for the Lord to help him so that the enemy does not prevail against him. Psalm 25 and verse 2. Again, David here. 25 and verse, we'll start in verse 1. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. David does not want the enemy, and neither do any of us want the enemy to triumph over us. Certainly. And David here, as we've explained earlier in the message, that the fact that he is being hunted for his life at this point. None of us can say that we've ever had our life being hunted for the specific purpose of taking our life. Now, Will, if you talk to him, he can tell you about some dreams he's had of him and I, and we were being hunted down pretty bad there. And that's a whole nother story, but that was just a dream. But David himself says that, you know, that we know that the men of Saul and Saul himself were after him for his life. David did not want the enemy to triumph over him. The second thing that we see about that is it was to stop the cheer of the enemy. He says here in Psalm 13, and verse 4, lest mine enemies say I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. David uses this in his prayer, sort of like leverage with God. He's asking God to do these things so that, you know, David, he gets the out, he gets the answer he wants, but he's kind of using some leverage with the Lord here, and you say you can't do that. Well, ask Moses about that. Ask Moses about having a little bit of leverage with God. I think he did. And there's other men of God that have had some leverage with the Lord as they prayed in desperate times that God would protect, especially Moses, how he prayed that God would spare Israel. God could have wiped them out more than once, and rightfully so, he probably should have, but Moses interceded. Today we have the great interceder, the Lord Jesus Christ. But David is beckoning with the Lord here. He says that the enemy would not rejoice when his soul, excuse me, let me read that again. That those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. In David's prayer here, and thinking about this here, David is in this predicament, and he's saying to the Lord, he doesn't want the enemy to prevail over him, and he doesn't want them to rejoice. You know, sometimes things happen to us, and it seems like the world rejoices over some tragedy or something that would happen to us, something that would, maybe not a tragedy, but something that happened in our lives, and things sort of, in the world's eyes, fall apart. I've had things in my life, me and my wife, my family, I've had things over the years that didn't go the way we thought they were supposed to go, and I've had some family that has said awful things about us because of that. Now, they're not saved, and unsaved people will do what unsaved people do, but, you know, just because it didn't turn out the way that we specifically wanted it to, they used that to rejoice over something instead of standing behind us or standing with us and seeing us through whatever we may be going through. They would rejoice when we were moved. The enemy of our soul will rejoice when we are moved. The word moved here means to waver, slip, shake, be out of course, or fall. And certainly the enemy does rejoice when these things happen to us. And God doesn't want us to do those things. It's not his will that we fall, that we slip. But we are still in this flesh. And sometimes this flesh, sometimes we don't follow the Spirit, we follow the flesh. And when we do, we'll fall, we'll slip, we'll go back, we will revert to some of our old ways. And when sometimes these things happen and nobody ever knows, but sometimes things happen and the whole world knows what happened. I would say this, as I thought about this and looked over the lesson, was praying, I thought about this. The only move we should make in troubled times is a move that's closer to God. When things come about you, just like when things come about David here, I don't see David staying anywhere in this psalm. I'm done, Lord. I'm throwing my hands up. I'm done with you. He doesn't say that. And, you know, I'm not saying that we do that, but sometimes in our actions, I wonder if we don't do that. If we don't get to, quote unquote, the end of our rope, so to speak. Again, we're still in this flesh, folks. We are still capable of doing just about anything. And if we don't follow the Spirit, we follow the flesh, then we will fall and we will slip, and the world will rejoice over that. But the only move that we should make in these troubled times is just like David made here. Yes, at first he complained when he said, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me?" Yes, he was complaining. Yes, he was complaining to God. He wasn't complaining to men. He was complaining to God. He's just asking God questions. And you and I do the same thing. If we're honest with ourselves and honest with God, we question him about things in our lives. But even though all those things happen, we see the turn in verse 3 where David says in his prayer for God to consider and hear him, and to lighten his eyes. Give me some light on the situation, Lord. Would you shed some light on the situation for me? And you know, sometimes when we go through these dark times, when we think that God has forgotten us, then we shouldn't move away from him, but we should move closer to him. We should draw closer to him. The Bible says, "Draw nigh to me and I will draw nigh to you." Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. I'm sorry, quoted that wrong there. And if we would just do these things when we're going through this kind of stuff, just, you know, we should draw nigh to God every day. But in our troubled times, even more so, We should draw nigh to God. We should grow closer to Him every day. And through that trial, test, whatever you want to call it, we should come out on the other side more like Him. And we'll be more like Him if we spend more time with Him. You know, as families, we see families, we see a husband and a wife, as that starts out, as an interest and then a courting relationship or whatever may correspond there, and then engagement, marriage, and you grow more like each other over the years. And then your family, as you have children and move on, your family, we're like each other. We just had family in town here earlier this month, and it was good to be with everyone. And it amazes me as I just kind of sit back. I don't like to be out in the lights. I like to just kind of sit back and watch things happen and let grandkids run over me and everything else and that kind of stuff. But I see my children and then I see my grandchildren, and I'm amazed of the likeness that follows down through them, whether it's of me or my wife, or even maybe it goes back to my parents, her parents, stuff like that, a likeness. We're like each other, we're like each other because we're family to start out with, but we've been around each other. That my children grew up in my house, obviously. We trained them the best we could in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and they are like us. If we are the sons and daughters of God, shouldn't we be like Him? And when we go through these times, if we draw closer to Him, we'll be more like Him. So on the latter end of our troubles and trials, we'll come out being more like Christ, being more like Him. David is faced with this great dilemma here of Saul chasing him for his life. Again, we don't really know what that's like. But yet, we can make the application to what we're going through today. Psalm 55 and verse 22 says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." In verse 4, where it says in the end there, "Those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved." David says, when I am moved. And the only way the enemy is going to rejoice is if David does wrong in the situation. I'm going to challenge you, as we go through things, and no one is exempt. If you trusted the Lord as your Savior, you're going to go through something. You know what? Even if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you're going to go through some stuff. Troubles come to everyone in the world. The difference is, if you know the Lord as your Savior, you have someone to go to. I do not know how I would ever have made it this far if I never trusted Christ as my Savior. I honestly don't know. The likelihood of me ever meeting my wife is very slim to none, had I never got saved. But if I was faced with what I've been faced with over the last 40 years of knowing Him as my Savior, without Him, I don't even want to think about what my life would be. I thank the Lord that He's been there through every trial and test, just like He's been there for David through this one. We'll get to the rejoicing here. We're coming up on it. But remember, like I said way back when we started Psalms, bitter or better. When you go through something, remember, is it going to make me bitter or is it going to make me better? The only difference between the two is the letter I. That's me, I. I make the difference between bitter and better. The way I respond to whatever the Lord's bringing me to and through, or will bring me through, is the difference on the outcome, what it will be. Number two in our outline is performance in troubled times. We see that in verse 5. It took us a while to get here, but we have knocked out four verses, so we only have two to go. And the Bible says here in verse 5, "But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation." Even though David is going through troubled times, he does not waver in his performance, but continues steadfast in his faith. This is the real test of our faith, that we would be steadfast even when we're experiencing troubles. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord." David was steadfast in this. As I mentioned just a couple minutes ago, we see nowhere in this psalm where David says, "I'm done, Lord. I'm done. I'm out." Yes, he does seem like he's at the end of his rope. I mean, when you come to the point where you're asking God if he's forgotten you, if you're asking God, "Is you're hiding your face from me, how long are you going to do that?" And when sorrows are about you, your heart daily, and the enemy is exalted over you, it seems like a pretty bad time. But yet David did not waver in his performance here. Let's look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter in chapter 1. Give you a couple New Testament. I've given you a whole lot of Old Testament references. I like to use the book of Psalms as a commentary on the book of Psalms and see what David said in one place compared to the other. But here in 1 Peter chapter 1, I think we'll... Where do I start? Verse 4, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." David did not waver in his performance in troubled times. Peter is encouraging the Christians here that they... even though they're going through heaviness, can we not say that David was going through some heaviness there in Psalm 13, and also that through manifold temptations, manifold, that's many coming into one. There's a manifold on your vehicle, whatever cylinders it may have. If it's got four cylinders, it's got four exhaust ports going into a manifold coming out to your exhaust. If it's bigger, it's got more. But it's many things coming into one, and sometimes it seems just like it did to David back here in Psalm 13, that there's manifold temptations, there's many things coming about him. But Peter says here to encourage the people that the trial, verse 7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Know this, folks, that as we go through troubled times, each and every one of us, whether we're going through troubled times as a church, or whether we're going through troubled times as a family, or whether we're going through troubled times as an individual, that these things are working together for good, and that the Lord is with us. It's called a trial of your faith, and it's much more precious than gold. It doesn't seem more precious than gold when you're going through it. It seems like something that we don't want anything to do with. Many times we're like, Lord, why did I ever have to go through this? Why me, Lord? Why me? And don't say that you've never said it, because we've all said it at some point. Why me? But maybe if we'd look at it a little bit different and say, you chose me to go through this, Lord. And I know whatever it is, you want me to grow closer to you. You want me to be more like you. And that it is more precious than gold. But in the end game, it might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be much better if we didn't complain to God about what we're going through, but we embraced what we're going through, and we embraced his word and him, and grew closer to him? And then, because we don't know, the trumpet may sound at any moment. And that's the end of our trials. They're over at that point. But wouldn't it be much better if we were like just right there at the end of it, and the Lord said, it's time to get out of here. It's all over, and you get the glory from this, and God gets the glory from it, just like he did here in 1 Peter. Turn back to Psalm 33, and we'll get back to 13. Psalm 33:18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, to keep alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall greatly rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Folks, as we face troubled times, realize that our performance should be just like David's. It should be one that brings glory and honor to the Lord. There's two things I want to see about that performance in troubled times, and we'll look at them quickly here. Number one, we see in verse 5, where he says, I have trusted in thy mercy. We see here reliance on God's way. In spite of his troubles, David continues to trust in the Lord to be merciful and to deliver him from his troubles. That's the key, folks, as we go through things, is to stay close to God, just like David did here. In spite of everything that's going on around us, stay close to him. We've been through a lot in years, probably not as much as some people have, but there's been some trials and tests that have come our way. And, you know, I've just, as I look back on things from time to time, I thank the Lord that He put enough in me to keep going. Put the desire in me for His word, the desire to be close to Him, the desire to keep my family and myself in church. There's been times when the thought hit me, what if you just threw your hands up? You said, boy, your faith's weak. Well, we'll see what happens when things come your way. But there's been times where I've just really thought, but quickly the Lord reminds me of what He's done, and He encourages me to go on for Him. Just as the Lord, as David puts his trust in the Lord here and his reliance upon God's way, we see that. He said, but I have trusted in thy mercy. There's been so many times, so many things that we've been through that we've just trusted God's mercy to get us through, no matter what it may be. You trust His mercy. David's performance is most commendable because of his faith in the Lord in spite of all his troubles. Isaiah, turn over there. Isaiah chapter 12. Don't get into Isaiah a whole lot, but found some verses here. Can make some application with. Prophecy, but yet it will happen one day. Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation, I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw out water of the wells of salvation. We see here Isaiah speaking of his trust in the Lord. David had a reliance on God's way, or a reliance on his trust in the Lord, back in Psalm 13. Keep your place right there. We've got another. We're going to refer to something else here in a minute. So just stay right there. But we also see in verse 5 where he says, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. We only see the reliance on God's way, but the rejoicing in God's salvation. It says, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. David is so sure that God will deliver him from his troubles that he promises by faith to rejoice in his deliverance. We don't see in Psalm 13 that God delivered him. We just see David saying, he's going to deliver me. I know he's going to deliver me. I say, was shouting on credit. He knew that God was going to deliver him. You and I should know that God is going to deliver us. We should be rooted and grounded enough in God's word to know that he will deliver us. He might not always answer the way we think he should, but his ways are higher than our ways. Still there in Isaiah chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. But we can read verse 4. We'll leave that out. one of the shortest chapters in Isaiah here, but verse 4, "And in that day you shall say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, and mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout for the inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." We see Isaiah speaking here of shouting, of crying aloud, praising the Lord for what he's done. And that's certainly what David done back in Psalm 13. Turn back there again. Let's see if I can wipe this out in 5 minutes. Number 3 in our outline is praise in troubled times. As we look back over the psalm, we see that it started out with protest and complaints to the Lord, but it ends in praise to the Lord. Like many of the other psalms we looked at, starts out with a problem and ends up with praise. Isn't that what our lives should be, our prayers should be? We go to the Lord with problems, with things that we can't handle, we need help with. And though they start out that way, they should all end in praise. We can learn from David how we should stay in communication with God in prayer. And through his word, we can find how to change our negative attitudes to positive attitudes. Because many times, as we're faced with troubles and trials and tests that come our way, it's not hard to become negative. And depending on what kind of personality you have, and people have different personalities, some people are more negative than positive. And if you are on that negative side, it's easy to become negative when things come your way. But two things quickly in verse 6 we'll see here. "I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me." First thing is singing. We see the singing of praise in verse 6. "I will sing unto the Lord." This speaks of praise to God. The Lord puts a melody in our hearts that the world cannot do. And the melody certainly is not that of the world's. The Bible tells us over in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19 to be speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart and to the Lord. I'm reminded of a song that I believe Brother McBride and his family sung, maybe some others here over the years, but God wants to hear you sing. He wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing around you, when the fiery darts surround you, when despair is all you see. God wants to hear you sing. He wants you to sing and get through the trial. You know, if we can just stay focused on him as we go through things, folks, if we can have a song in our heart no matter what. And I know that is not the easiest thing to do. I know there's been many times I went through stuff and I really didn't have much of a song in my heart at times. But God eventually would give me a song in my heart. Many times you wake up with it on your heart in the morning. And that's certainly is a blessing when God wakes you up in the morning and he has that on your heart right away and blesses you with it. The second thing that we see here is a situation for praise, and we see that in the end of the verse, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. The Lord certainly hath dealt bountifully with David, and he will deal bountifully with us. We find David praising God because of God's abundant blessings and for delivering him from his troubles. We often pray to God for deliverance in times of trouble, but seldom do we praise him when he actually does deliver us. I testified some this morning of things God has brought us through, and I thank him for it. But many times, as we go through trials, especially if there's something that's really drawn out in our lives, many times these things don't just come to and pass in a day's time. Many of them are long and drawn out. But eventually, God will bring us to, will bring it to an end. I'm reminded of a little saying that I think Sarah wrote it one time. My daughter Sarah, on something that she used to do, some drawings and things, and she said on this one saying, if God brings you to it, he'll bring you through it. And he certainly will. David, here we see him praising God in the end. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. I'm reminded of those, we'll not look over there for sake of time, but over in Luke 17, those lepers that came to Jesus, the 10. You know the story. If you don't, look it up. Luke 17, verse 11 through 19. We were going to go there, but we don't have time. But whereas the lepers came to Jesus, and then as he told them what to do to be cleansed, and as they went away to be cleansed, then one of them turned around and thanked him. And he said, where are the nine? That's one tenth, Tracy. That's only a tenth of those that were healed. And I wanted to go there. We're out of time. But read that. It says, thy faith, he told that leper, thy faith hath made thee whole. You know, maybe very possible that a lot of people go through things in this life. I've seen them, especially being around people after Mason's accident, being around people at the hospitals and stuff, and everybody, you're only there if you're having trouble. And that's not the only trouble we have, but you're only there if you're having trouble, and people will testify, oh, God's good, Jesus is, go down here, I'll take you down here to Hopkins, I could take you to the Ronald McDonald House, and there's black women there that just praise Jesus all the time. I don't know. Saved. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. But, you know, I think about that. And the people that we've had contact with that have been through tragic events with their children. And I know one that's not all that far from here. And I'm most certain that they do not know the Lord as their Savior. But they talk about God. And I thought about those lepers and how that, you know, only one of them came back. And when that one came back and gave thanks, he said, thy faith had made thee whole. What faith can do in our lives when we go through it. Troubled times. Hopefully it's an encouragement to you and a blessing to you. Let's pray.